Looking for a sign? Here it is. Found this, I was preparing this week. It reminded me of a radio talk show. I think it was actually in Minnesota that I listened to this week. They had an interview and this lady was called in. And Minnesota is known for lots and lots of deer. I mean, deer season comes, people come from all over, they're all over the place. But this one lady called in and was complaining to the host because she's been in several car accidents involving deer. And she made the connection to the person who was on the radio host. Why do they have these deer crossing in the most trafficked places? On the highways, you know, why can't you put these deer crossing signs like in, you know, kids crossing, school crossings, where children cross the roads, or why can't you put the deer crossing signs underneath bridges so that the deer go under the bridges? Why are these signs for the deer posted on these highways where everybody's flying by as fast as they can? Well, she was really, really upset about it. So, obviously she missed the point of the sign, right? So, she might go to a few more cars before, or deer, before she figures that one out. Watch out for those deer. What other kinds of signs are we looking for? New Year's has passed and the whole New Year's resolution is in effect. And this week I was actually invited over to Dr. David's house for a meal and had a wonderful chicken curry and ate way too much. And then my kids thought it would be really fun to bring the scale that they found in the bathroom out to the living room. Okay, for most of my life, the mark of 200 pounds, that's about, about 88 or so kilos, has been like the limit. You know, if I hit 200, it's time to take drastic measures. I have studiously avoided getting on a scale for the last months. Because I noticed in November, even to myself as I looked down, I gained a bit of weight. My wife very clearly told me, Brian, you need to lose weight. And I figured, yeah, I'm probably over the 200 mark. So in November, we got the club membership. We worked out for the whole month, and I could tell I was losing weight back then, thinking, yeah, I'm looking good. Well, I climbed onto the scale at Dr. David's house, and hopefully it's way up. It's not up. Okay, it's not up. 208.8 pounds. I mean, that's, there's no question mark, and I'm over this 200. Ugh. So anyways, there's some more work to be done, and we'll get to that. So, that was a good sign for me that, sorry?
If I cut my leg off, I might get 200.
Yes, flash in the, I'm gonna,
in a dream.
We all have different marks that we go to, so. Well, it actually inspired me though, because I had this little lump that's been growing on my neck for about 10 years now, so I'm going in Wednesday to get it cut off. I'm hoping that's going to take a pound away or so. So, not quite a leg, but I'm working on it. These signs that we look for, yeah. Well, today is we're looking in God's Word. We're in Luke chapter 11. And we're asking the question, am I waiting for a sign from Jesus, or have I made a choice? The question that we're wrestling with and looking at our own lives today as we look into God's Word here. So let's stop and pray and see what is in store for us. Father God, we come to you to hear, to listen, to be changed. We have your holy words recorded for us that we can see and hear and trust that what we know is true. So take these words today from your holy scriptures and change our lives. Work in us. We belong to him. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus, once again, he's out in the crowds, people all around him, and somebody brings to him a man with a demon, demonic presence. Jesus heals him. You would think in this moment where this person is healed that the whole crowd, everybody around him, on all sides, are going to go, all right, another one for Jesus. In fact, it says some of the people were amazed. This man who before couldn't speak is now speaking. The people who are right there going, wow, this is a sign from God. God is at work. But even though these people were all around Jesus and all had that same perspective, there were some in the crowds that said, no, this isn't from God. He's using some other power. And there were some over here saying, yeah, maybe he's done something, but we need more. We need more of this. There's a place in this crowd for us this morning. Jesus is at work, and he's watching these people. He does this amazing miracle, casting out this demon. And there's questions in people's minds. Some are amazed. Yeah, we got those. But there's these people that are saying, no, he's got the power of Satan at work in him. What is up with this? And Jesus, looking into their minds and recognizing what was going on, gives them two ways of thinking about what's happening here. First of all, he says, if I was casting out demons by the power of Satan, like you are accusing me of in your thoughts, then this kingdom of Satan's going to collapse because you can't fight itself. You know, if I myself were to go into my house and say, okay, family, we're going to go on this trip together. We need to work together to make this happen. And my family says, Dad, I'm not going to go. Or my wife says, Hon, I'm not going to pack. We're not together. We're not united. We're not going to get out that front door. It takes a united effort to get out the door. It says it also compares it to a kingdom divided against itself. So if we have Macedonia united as a strong country, everyone working together, and we know it's not true because we have this huge ethnic divide that keeps separating and being used by politicians, this country gets stuck day after day. We can see that divisions in countries, divisions in kingdoms, divisions in even the heavenly realms doesn't work. In fact, Jesus says, some of your own children, they cast out demons, how are they doing it? Jesus is letting them catch a glimpse that he has authority, this power from God on high to deal with the demonic realms here. He's challenging them. He's showing them with power. People are questioning and wanting more. Anybody watching the news right around New Year's time, there's these couple guys that climbed this rock cliff here. It's called the Dawn Wall on El Capitan. There's a white line going up. There's a sheer cliff. Any of you rock climbers? Peter? Is that a few? Yeah? All right. There's a few out there. I've managed to do the ones where you can get your whole hand on a rock. Grab onto this thing, and as long as the wall is slightly in your favor, you can press against the wall and climb up. El Capitan, this is the first time this wall has been reclimbed. These two guys spent 14 days? 19 days? 17 days. All right. I had it written down, and I didn't look at my notes right before that. 17 days going from the bottom of this to the top of this. All they had on this whole rock was about the tip of your finger at places, or less. These guys are stuck like flies on a window for 17 days climbing up this wall. But I'm not a rock climber. Somebody has to do it. But these guys, the reason I bring this up, had choices along the way. In fact, as they made it up into this, one of the guys, because there's like razor sharp rocks and they're putting all their body weight on this trying to pull themselves up, his fingertips got all sliced to pieces. They're in a lot of pain doing this. Okay, again, glad I'm not doing it. He had to take 3 days, actually, up there, halfway up, in a tent, tied to the side of the cliff, resting, recuperating, hoping his fingertips could get better. Well, his friend continues on up. And it came to this point where there was a decision to be made whether he would quit and his friend would try to keep going or he would go. And he made it through this tough little spot. I believe it was right in there. He went down and around and kept going on up, and he made it. The choice on this cliff here is to keep going or to go back. As the man did for 3 days, sitting there on the side of the cliff, doing nothing, recovering, not a good choice. You can only do that for so long. And Jesus, in the story that we're talking about, is calling people to a choice. He's calling them to realize that you've heard, you're seeing, you're being presented with the kingdom of God right in front of you. Some of you are amazed, some of you are doubting, and some of you are just questioning. You don't want to go on. You can't. And Jesus is calling them in this story, in this in-their-face moment, to take the next step, to move forward. Jesus isn't using demonic powers in this. He's the Son of God. He has the power to be changing and transforming lives of people. We knew that to be true. And yet if we look at ourselves in the story, the motivations for people, why they're asking these questions or asking more. The people that are saying, this can't be from God. This has to be some other power. If Jesus is calling them to follow him, if Jesus is calling them to be a part of his kingdom, and they would say, we don't respect his power, his authority, that means these people are finding an excuse to be in some other kingdom. They themselves don't want to be submitted to what Jesus is calling them to be. They don't want to be trusting in this power that Jesus claims to have. They're trying to find a way out. Those that are asking the question, more proof. I need another sign, Jesus. I think they're content. I think they're content where they are in their life. They're sitting right there in the crowds going, you know what? I don't change anything. Life's all right. I got things together. Nobody's demanding stuff I can't give. Nobody's forcing me to do anything. In fact, if I just keep going on my day after day, life's good. Why submit myself to some of these extreme radical ideas? I mean, didn't Jesus say just a few days ago that I'm supposed to deny myself, pick up my cross, and die daily for him? That's what it means to follow him. This is what he's asking me to do. I'd much rather just keep asking questions and not making a choice. But Jesus draws a line in the sand and says, whoever's not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. He's using that analogy again of going out to the harvest and collecting the fruit and the wheat and the grain that's ready. A choice needs to be made. These people are out there listening. Obviously, they're interested because they've come and gathered around and are tracking with what Jesus has to say. And Jesus is saying, you need to make a choice about what you hear and what you see. The kingdom of God is here in your midst. I'm teaching you, I'm telling you, I'm showing you. And there's not room this morning to not make a choice, to not choose. Jesus in this story is the strong man. He says if you have a house, and you have actually a security guard out front, you have all the security installed around it, you're safe. Unless somebody stronger than your security guy comes along and takes him out and destroys your security. Jesus is putting himself as that strong man. He's saying, I am the strong man who protects you. Your bodyguard. Good word in Macedonian. Tebokranitel, your guy that feeds your body, cares for you, protects you. Love that word. Jesus is the one protecting his people here. He's the strong man. He's the one that took out the evil one. He took out Satan and his powers with a word. And now he is protecting his own. And he's saying, it's time to choose. It's time to make a choice. And the story continues. As this finishes up here, Jesus is still with the crowds, and they're still walking around, and somebody calls out, Jesus, blessed is the woman that gave you birth, the one that raised you. Sounds like a good blessing, right? Blessing on Mary. I mean, it's all around us today. It's actually very interesting that Jesus negates that right here. He says, no, that's not where the blessing belongs. Yes, she is blessed. We could say that, but not to be heaped upon her and praised, he says, the one who is blessed is the one who hears and obeys. Again, Jesus is changing the perspective here, the people that are listening. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. We would like to base the blessings that we get from God on where we've come from, on our ethnicity maybe, maybe upon our bank accounts. Man, I've got blessings, I'm safe, I've got it together. Maybe we're basing on the fact that, you know what, my grandparents were godly people and my parents were, so come on, that's coming down to me, right? Jesus is putting blessing on the choices that those that are listening make. Those that hear and obey. How does that sit with you? It's a lot easier if we could say something external from me is what determines my blessings from God. And then Jesus goes back into the history of the Israelites to help them to understand this hearing and obeying. You know the story of Jonah? Jonah was the guy, the prophet of God, who was sent to this place called Nineveh. They were enemies of Israel, pagans, sacrificed their children to gods that didn't exist. Horrible, wicked people. Jonah, no, I'm not going there. He goes the other way. God gets a hold of him, does work in his life, helps him to understand, and sends him back in the belly of the whale, on the fish, back to Nineveh. He goes there, and he preaches, and what happens? They repent. The city of wickedness, of people sacrificing children to foreign gods, says, wait, we're wrong. Save us, help us. Turned away from what they were doing. They stopped doing it, and they repented. And then the other story is about this queen of the south that went to Solomon. She's coming from somewhere, most likely in Africa. She's traveled a long, long way to come and hear the wisdom of Solomon. And she comes and she listens, and her life is changed as well. And summing up both of those stories, Jesus says, something bigger than them, a greater sign than them is here today. What's amazing about these people and what you are being compared to is whether you hear a message and repent. So twice in the story today, we're getting these words from Jesus saying the blessing coming to you and the blessing that came to those people in the old days was based upon hearing the word of God and responding to it. Responding to it in trust. Today in our life, as we go through, we have questions. No doubt about that. Is God still walking alongside us? Does he care about my day-to-day life? Is God really overcoming evil, even though it's hard to see? We have these questions that challenge the very core of our being sometimes. Pain. Suffering. Innocent people. Suffering, dying. Same as in that time of Jesus. And in this moment, we have this choice to be making, even as those rock climbers had of going forward. We don't have all the information, but we have enough. Jesus is asserting his power in our life, his authority in our life, saying, you're trusting me in these day-to-day decisions. You're trusting me with your life. Will receive this blessing. So Jesus, in the midst of this crowd, people all around, and one of them having been the focus of his miracle, people are having determine what they're going to do. One person was miraculously healed, and the rest are responding. And so we find ourselves in that chair, in that crowd. And whether we're on the receiving side or the speaking side of this message, we all have something to be doing this morning. Jesus called us to follow him and go, those two parts of the story that we've been continuing to see, we have here this morning. Jonah, he was sent unwillingly. He tried running. God worked in his heart and brought him back. He was the unwilling prophet, unwilling preacher. He got sent to a foreign country. Did you get sent to a foreign country? Oh, wait, yeah, that's why we're here. Yeah. The people themselves weren't looking for a message. The people that received Jonah's message, they were going about their day-to-day life. They didn't need anything they thought. And yet this crazy guy, smelling of stinky fish, stands up in the center of town and says, guys, you are going to be cursed by God unless you repent. And he walks out. Not much of a message. Those are those two characters. And then you have the other story, somebody searching for truth. This woman, this queen of the south, she has a kingdom under her. She's powerful. And yet she leaves that behind to come to where the source of truth was. Solomon, the wisest man in the world. He's not looking to share this. He's just going about his daily life doing what God's called him to do. Ruling a kingdom. Being a wise guy. And she comes and she hears and her life is changed. And so somewhere in this story this morning, you and I find ourselves. Whether we're an unwilling goer or we're contentedly doing what God's called us to do right here. Whether expats living in Macedonia or Macedonians living here, we're one of those. And whether we speak this message that God has given to us to people who are hungry and wanting to hear, or whether we speak this message to people who have no interest. Don't even care that God exists. We find ourselves in the story having to make a choice. The kingdom of God has come. Jesus is preaching it, teaching it, and explaining it to people in very powerful ways. Today it's through the healing of a person with a demonic presence. Changed the man's life. But the focus is what to do with that. What to do with this power of God being displayed. You put yourself there on that chair this morning, looking around, being amazed at what God is doing around, what God is working on, and saying, yeah, I'm a part of that. Someone must be speaking the truth. Someone must be responding to it. But Jesus in this story reminds us again that something greater than these past prophets is with them. And this morning, as we look in our own lives, something greater than Jonah is here with us today. Something greater and wiser than Solomon is right here with us today. Jesus, our Savior. He said the sign for his generation was the sign of Jonah. Part of why he brought up that story. Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days. Jesus died and was around for 3 days and rose again. Though we don't see necessarily this amazing miracle happening, what we do see are the changed lives around us. God's presence working in us and in the people around us. A few weeks ago, we listened to each other share what God was doing in our lives. In your small groups throughout the week, you had that chance to hear what God is doing. And God is at work. God is changing our lives. God does care what's going on. And he expresses that care and concern not through some mystical feeling out there, but through the people sitting around you as they know what's going on in your life. God expresses his love for the world through this group called the church. Not just the International Church of Skopje, but the churches of Macedonia that are following after him, the churches in Nigeria, the churches in South Africa, the churches in Germany, the churches in South Korea. God is using his people around the world speak this truth here. Something greater And the prophet of old is with us today. So we come back to this chair, this man that was changed, and the crowds that were gathered around Jesus, and we gather around them as well ourselves and say, so what? Have I made a choice to follow Jesus? Or am I still asking for more? It's a one-time question in one sense. Will I follow, will I not? And yet, it's hearing and obeying. It's hearing and repenting. There is this day-to-day part of the story that Jesus is pushing into the lives of these people. It's not something we did 15 years ago. It's not something we did last year. Hearing and following Jesus is this day-to-day experience. Talking with friends of mine this week about what God is doing and where they should go next, or should they go, or should they stay? Big questions. I think we all wrestle with them. You're in the embassies, you have to bid on your next post and hope you end up somewhere that's good. Business sends you here or there. If you're serving Christ in church and going to different countries, you might have a little bit more choice of where you end up or how long. Hard to know. But we're all in transition. Especially here. Where do we go? What we do? It's part of being a part of this story here. Seeing God at work. And asking this question day to day. What does God want me to do? How do I make this decision? It starts with that first commitment to say yes. I trust and I follow. Then it's that daily listening. Try to define that listening. Elizabeth and I were talking about it in our coffee time. We make coffee every day this week? Yeah. We make coffee in the morning. Send the kids to school. Sit over a cup of coffee and say, okay, what's God doing? And we're trying to figure out in the next year and a half, 2 years, where the Richards family is going to be. And asking, okay, God, how do you answer our questions? There's no red ink saying, go do this. All we have is listen and obey. Which puts it really tightly back into that daily time to ourselves and our wishes and just saying, okay, what's the day have? Doesn't fit well with making a long-term plan other than we can realize God loves us, He's caring for us, and together He's leading us. In this process of relationship with the living God, He shows us where to go and what to do. Look around, lots of you in that moment of transition and decision making. But it comes back to that trust, that initial trust that Jesus has the authority, He has the power, and He's calling us simply to obey Him. And then, put it back in the context of love, loving God and loving our neighbor. Out there and do what you want to do. Can you love God in the activity? Can you love your neighbor in that activity? Then live it up. It's a day-to-day process. Wide boundaries as long as we love God, love our neighbor. So this morning, there's the chair. How do we respond? Can't make no choice, because that is a choice in and of itself. You go up, or you go back. You go left, or you go right. You sit still, and everything else changes around you. You've made the decision. Choose Jesus this morning. He's got the power, He's got the authority, and He's got love that changes our lives. Let's pray. Father God, we are amazed at the Savior of ours who, in mundane moments, pulls our hearts towards Him. In working a miracle, He opens the thoughts and motivations of people. And in our day-to-day life, You, Jesus, open our thoughts and open our motivations to inspection. So examine us, Lord Jesus. Are we living in a trusting relationship with You, following after You? Or are we just making excuses to live our life how we want to? Let's really the decision that we have this morning, is to find ourselves, listen, and obey. Open our ears that we hear. Give us the strength to follow. In Jesus' name.
Purify my heart.